thank you, Lord. We thank you for bringing us together here, Father. We thank you for good fellowship, a good understanding of your word, that you give us the light that you give us on your truth, Father. We could never understand and internalize these things if it wasn't for your Holy Spirit doing that work in us. And we just thank and praise you for that blessing and that gift. Father, we pray that you would teach us here in the service, and that you would bring these things to our minds as we walk out in this world, that when we need your word to guide and protect us, that it would be there, that it would be dwelling in us richly, that you might use it to our benefit, to your glory. In our Savior's name, amen. Genesis chapter 5. Let's read the first few verses here. I think we're going to get through the chapter today because it runs pretty quick, this chapter does. Genesis chapter 5, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. All right, let's stop there for now. So we came through the latter half of chapter 4 last time, and what we're seeing here in chapter 5, we're gonna zip through the first 1,000 years or so of human history in that one chapter. And what we've seen coming up into that, we see the beginnings of human civilization. We saw the sons of Cain as he goes out and he builds a city at the in the latter half of chapter 4. And you see his descendants in verse 20 of chapter 4. Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. So you see those kind of fundamental elements of culture and of civilization beginning there, and you've got agriculture going on, and you've got animal husbandry going on there, and the domestication of animals. You've got the arts in Jubal, and music, and they're creating musical instruments and so forth, and you have manufacturing there. In every artificer in brass and iron and metallurgy and those kinds of things. So all of these, and of course you have, again, in verse 22, Tubal-Cain is an instructor. So you have formal education beginning now here. So all of those things are kind of the bedrock foundational elements of society. And then when you get down to the end of the chapter, verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So to all of those things we add religion, and that kind of rounds out those basic elements of that make a culture and a society. So now that we've got that groundwork laid there, chapter 5 just speeds right through the next 1,000 years, and what's happening is the population is building, and you've got kind of more and more of the same kind of a thing. So God doesn't touch on a lot of detail that happens. He's already laid out the kinds of things that are going on. Society, civilization is building. So you get down to the end of of that, it follows that that line of Cain for a little while. Then it goes back and picks up Seth. Then in chapter 5, this is the book of the generations of Adam. We've talked about these books of generations. There's 10 or 11 of these in the book of Genesis. And they mark important people. There's a book of generations of Adam, and then you see it of Noah and of his sons, and of Abraham and of his sons, and Isaac and Jacob and so forth. And these key people in the book of Genesis have these... The book of Genesis is divided up into these sections that relate to these key people. And when I say key people, we're talking about that seed. We're following that seed line, the seed of the woman, down through, beginning with Seth here, and going out to the end of the book of Genesis, where Joseph does what everybody here in Genesis chapter 5 does. He dies. And the book of Genesis closes out with Joseph in a coffin in Egypt. So here in chapter 5, we get the book of the generations of Adam. And it's going to follow Adam's lineage down to Noah. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. Now that is almost verbatim the description you get in chapter 1. You remember we saw that there's kind of a controversy between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, and people say that what those things are, they're two different accounts. They're two different creation myths that Moses or whoever kind of pulled together and couldn't decide which one he wanted to use, so he used them both. But what you've got here in chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2 is you have a bringing together of those two things. You may or may not have noticed, as we were going through chapter 1 and chapter 2, Adam isn't called Adam in chapter 1. The first time you get the name Adam is in chapter 2. Here it says that in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, now that's chapter 1, and blessed them and called their name Adam. That's what you get in chapter 2. So those two accounts there are, in fact, one and the same. It comes together here in the books of the book of the generations of Adam, of that man. Now you notice God created this. These are the generations of Adam. So we're going to begin with the beginning of Adam. And God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. So the book of the generations of Adam starts out with Adam and Eve being created in the image of God. And that's important because as this goes on, you notice in the next verse, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. So Adam is created in the image of God. Then when he has a son, that son is born in Adam's image. And that doesn't just mean he looked like Adam. He's got that Adamic nature in him, as Adam had the nature of God when he was created, the character. His son has his image. We've talked about that image of God. And you notice again in verse 2, he blessed them and called their name Adam. So the man and the woman are both named Adam. And that's we understand how that works. Come with me to Jeremiah. Get Jeremiah 23. She takes his name. God creates him, names him Adam. Creates the woman, there's a marriage there, and her name becomes Adam. Her name is Eve Adam. Jeremiah 23. The idea of the woman, the wife, taking the man's name. You know, we kind of that's come back now. We kind of got away from that for a couple of decades there, and you saw a lot of hyphenating going on, and a lot of women got married and didn't take the name at all. I'm going to keep my own name. Why am I going to take his name? Well, because we've been through all of this. There's an identification there with of the woman with her husband. She's the help meet for him. And that, the wife taking the husband's name, is something that God begins right here when he calls their name Adam. And that carries on out through. Look here. Jeremiah 23 Verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. So that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ when he takes his throne in that kingdom. Now, that's chapter 23. Look in chapter 33. Jeremiah 23 and 33. So now we're in chapter 33. In chapter 33, you get an almost word-for-word repeat of what we just read. Again, talking about the kingdom. Jeremiah 33, verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. So the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in connection with that kingdom, if you look back in verse 11, it's talking about the bride and the bridegroom and so forth. And we know that Israel and that New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. So in chapter 23, it says his name is going to be the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tzidkenu is the word there, the name. Then you come over here and you find out that's her name too. The name she shall be called, the Lord. She's the bride. She takes his name. So you go over there into Revelation, and the Lord looks at those saints there, and he says, if you overcome, I'll write upon you my new name. And you'll get a new name. And you'll have the name of the Lord and the name of the city of your God. It's the same name. So, he called back in chapter 5, he called their name Adam. Adam and Eve Adam. And verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So now, the children that are born of Adam are going to bear his image. Hold your hand here. Come with me to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. God is made in the image, Adam is made in the image of God. Then he bears a son in his own likeness, in his own image. Does that mean that man now doesn't bear the image of God anymore? No. What it does mean is that that image of God has been compromised, has been marred, has been scarred in man. You see through the Bible, all the way up to and including Paul, that man continues to bear the image of God. but it's not what it was. It's kind of the image of God through Adam. And that wasn't a problem before he fell. Now it's a problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says in verse 45, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual." We've talked about that, starting that back there with Cain and Abel. When Cain was born, Eve thought she had that seed. And what she had was that firstborn who turned out to be the carnal one, and it was the second who was spiritual. She learns that there, by the way, because, again, when they have Seth, she doesn't say, "God's given me a replacement for Cain, who was banished." She says, "God's given me a replacement for Abel, whom Cain slew." So she knows now, she's learned by the time you get to chapter 4, that the first is not always the best. So that which is first is not spiritual, but natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual, verse 47. "And the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly." Now the context here in 1 Corinthians 15 is our resurrection body. So we're talking about image. And we bear the image right now of the earthy. Read on. Verse 49. "And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." So right now we bear the image of Adam. Adam had a son in his own likeness, in his own image. And we are of that line. We bear the image of Adam. One day we're going to bear the image of Christ, and that image of God is going to be restored. And that's what Paul calls the manifestation of the sons of God. Not the sons of Adam, the sons of God. And we're gonna bear his image again. And of course, we know back in same chapter here in verse 21, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And that brings us back to Genesis chapter 5, because Genesis chapter 5 is what's referred to as the graveyard chapter of the Bible. Genesis chapter 5 is just filled with death. And this book of the generations of Adam is a book of death. And you know, there's another book of generations when you get into the New Testament, Matthew, right? There's a book of the generations of Jesus Christ. And when you go through that book of generations, nobody dies in that one. So-and-so begat so-and-so who begat so-and-so who begat so-and-so. There's just life, 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 life. Here, you get the begetting, there's life, and then he died. And he died, and he died, and he died over and over again in Genesis chapter 5. That's the generations of Adam. That's the legacy that Adam left. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. Genesis chapter 5, "So he bears a son in his own likeness after his image, calls his name Seth," verse 4. "And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Now, what you, as you're kind of speeding through this 1,000 years now in chapter 5 of human history, and we could literally just kind of read the passage through and say, okay, there you go, that's pretty much it. There's some things in here that we can bring out. But as you're kind of racing through that history, you don't want to miss the point of it. You're getting a lot of numbers in this chapter, and you're getting the ages of these people, not just when they die, but how old each person is when he has the next in the line, we're following the seed line here from Seth now, all the way down through Noah. And God is careful to give us this chronology and these numbers so that we can count the years and so that we can run this chronology. And it starts here, and it's just concentrated here in Genesis chapter 5. That's almost all you have. All you can do with this chapter is just count all of these numbers. But it's there so that you don't miss it. Because that, your ability to trace the time, runs through the Bible. And you can trace the time from Adam to Christ through your Bible. You don't have to go to the history books and say, well, this happened in so-and-so B.C. and all of that. You can go in your Bible and you can count those years. And God wants us to have that information. So, Adam is 130 when he has Seth. So now Seth, the verse we read earlier at the end of chapter 4, is obviously the next boy after Abel is killed. So all of that with Cain and Abel and all of those things, the garden and the fall and all of that happened within the first 130 years. Because Adam is 130 years old when he has Seth, and Seth is a replacement, Eve says, for Abel. So all of that other stuff has taken place already. So you get the idea. Cain and Abel are grown men. They may well be pushing 100 years old when that account happens. You see what it says here at the end of verse 4, he begat sons and daughters. There's a population in the earth. When Cain kills Abel, we know that, because Cain says, it's going to come to pass that everybody that findeth me shall slay me. There's a population in the earth. So all of these things are happening within these time frames that we're being given here. And Adam, he has Seth when he's 130, and he dies at 930, 800 years later. So now, from here, you can go through and count, and we won't do it, but you can count when each of these people is born, you can count the years when each of these people dies, and you can get that, you can draw that chronology out for yourself. And then at the end of verse 5 again, and he died. And you see that? Look in verse 8, those last three words. Verse 11, verse 14, verse 17, verse 20. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. That's the book of the generations of Adam. It's a book of death. And Seth lived, in verse 6, 105 years and begat Enos. And you remember when Seth begets Enos at the end of chapter 4, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So Seth, the line of Seth here is following the Lord, at least as much as people in the image of Adam can do. The line of Cain, we saw, is off doing their thing, building his city, and they're busy building up civilization and so forth, to man's glory, and the line of Seth seems to be sticking with the Lord and with the truth, at least as much, again, as sinful people can. So Enos is born. Seth lived, verse 7, after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived after he begat Cainan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahaliel. And Cainan lived after he begat Mahaliel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. And you get the pattern going here. It doesn't really say too much more about that than that about most of these people here. He was born, he begat, he died. All the days of Mahaliel in verse 17 are 895. Then you get Jared. He lives 162 years and begats Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Now, before we move into Enoch now, because Enoch is somebody of note, one thing you do notice here, besides all the death, is the years that these people are living, right? 900 plus years these people are living. People say, well, how is that possible? How do people live for 900 years and so forth? Well, you understand that this is a very different world than what we have now today. Peter talks about it. He calls it the old world, the heavens and the earth that were before the flood, and he compares them to the heavens and the earth that are now. And there are the conditions here are very different. There are atmospheric conditions. It's not just the earth that was new when Noah stepped off that ark. Peter says the heaven and the earth used to be one way, and now they're another way. And the atmospheric conditions of this planet, and there are genetic mutations that happen there. You understand, before animals, never mind man, before animals get onto that ark, they're all herbivores. They don't eat meat. The animals come off that ark eating meat. There's changes that go on there in that judgment that shortened man's lifespan through the rest of the book of Genesis and into Exodus. Moses lives to be 120. That's a pretty young man compared to these 900-year-old guys, right? His natural force was not abated and his eye was not dim, but he died at 120. And you go on through, and finally David says, the days of man are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, 80, it's still a handbreadth. So by the time you get to David, it's where it is today, 70 to 80 years. That's how it's been since it leveled off. But that wasn't the plan. These people are supposed to live forever, don't forget. They're supposed to live forever. They're designed to live forever. You and I are designed to live forever. There's no reason for us to die. Our body regenerates itself over and over again. Cells die, and their new ones are born, and they divide, and they split, and they multiply, and that there's no reason for that to stop, and yet it does. Because of sin, it stops, and it slows down, and the metabolism slows down, and that whole process just kind of finally grinds to a halt because of sin. So these people are... None of them goes 1,000 years. You know, people are going to live 1,000 years in that millennium. The oldest one here is we're going to see in a minute, is the son of Enoch. And verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch is the one break in the record here. It doesn't say, and he died. It says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch doesn't die. Enoch is raptured. Hebrews 11. After we read in Hebrews 11 verse 4, that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. So Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, that Enoch walked with God, back in chapter 5 again, you notice something happens in Enoch's life that affects this walk with God. In verse 22, it says, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. So something about the birth of Methuselah causes Enoch to start up a relationship with God. And what's happened here is that, now we know that Enoch is a prophet. Jude quotes him, and he talks about the Lord will come with 10,000s of his saints and bring judgment on all these ungodly people for all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly done, and all their ungodly imaginations and all of that stuff. Now Enoch, he's prophesying judgment there, but he's not talking about the flood that's about to come. He's looking beyond that. The Lord doesn't come with 10,000s of his saints to bring this flood. He's talking about the coming of Christ. And the connection between those two things you see over and over again. The Lord says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. But it's the birth of Methuselah that gets Enoch started here. And Methuselah, they say, and there seems to be general agreement, I have no reason to argue with it. I tend to be careful about telling you what words in other languages mean, because I don't speak these languages. But apparently, the name Methuselah means, when he dies, it shall come. And if you follow these numbers and count these numbers out, what you realize is that Methuselah is the oldest man that ever lived, 969 years old. No one goes beyond that. And Methuselah dies in 1656 AC after creation. And guess what year the flood comes? 1656. So Methuselah lives longer than any man has ever lived. And you see in that, again, what Peter calls the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. And Enoch has this boy, and he gets a revelation about this kid. And he names him Methuselah. When he dies, it shall come. And as long as Methuselah was alive, God was waiting. He was being long-suffering. When Methuselah died, that flood came and wiped out the world. So Enoch had some revelation about this judgment that was about to come. And he had revelation about that final judgment when the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. So Enoch walks with God. And he walks with God after he begets Methuselah 300 years. And all the days of Enoch, now Enoch, Methuselah is the longest man that ever lived. Enoch is the shortest, 365 years, unless you consider the fact that he never died, in which case would make him the longest, right? But he's only here for 365 years, and he was not, disappeared, for God took him. And that is, you see those saints, Enoch is a picture of that 144,000 there that get raptured just before the Lord comes back with 10,000s of his saints and sets this world on fire. Enoch is delivered out before that judgment comes, just like they will be, just like you and I will be, but the picture there is that 144,000 that you see at the right hand of God in the book of Revelation. They're on the earth, then all of a sudden they're all there. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now, what happens here now, by the time from the translation of Enoch to the birth of Noah, a lot of things are going on. Number one, Methuselah begets Lamech in 874, if you count the years out. When does Adam die? Adam dies in 930, right? He was 930 years old and he died. So what's going to start happening now? Seth dies in 1042. And what you see happening here as you go through this, so-and-so lived to be 100 and whatever and had this child, and this one lived to be 90, had this child, this one lived for... And there's 100 years or so between these generations. Then you start coming to the end here, up to Noah. And Noah's 500 years old, and he has Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And what's happening there is that all of this time is going by, and this seed line is not being added to. What's happening is the people up front are dying. They're dying off. None of those people are alive when that flood comes. None of these people in this genealogy, they're all dead. It's that 500 years that you get with Noah before he has any kids that allows space for that. The time, the years prior to, and then running through that time. So God is, it's almost like there's a mercy in these deaths. He's being long suffering, and he's going to wait for all of these people to die before he brings this judgment. Lamech, verse 28, lived 102 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." So now we get the birth of Noah. Noah is born in 1056. The flood happens when Noah is 600 years old in 1656. And that's not B.C., that's AC, creation forward, the way the passage is given it to us. And Noah is born, and Lamech has a revelation concerning his son, concerning Noah. And he says, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Now, there's a change in the curse. All of those changes, the atmospheric changes and the topographical and geographical and genetic, all everything just changes there at the flood. There's a change in how that curse works too. Now, you and I know that to this day, you know, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. That curse wasn't lifted. And you know that the earth still bears thorns, right? But something happens there at that flood. God, here, come over chapter 8. Look at chapter 8. God fixes it, so he kind of mitigates the effect and lessens the effect of that curse. And he does that by creating seasons, so that it's not a 365-day planting and harvesting cycle anymore. But there's a time to plant and a time to reap. And God sets it up that way, and he creates seasons to kind of maximize the fruit of this cursed earth. Genesis 8, verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. So he's not going to do it again. For the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. See, those things, the seasons, are a result of that flood. And they're established there for the benefit of mankind. The curse isn't lifted, but God is, again, he gives rain on the just and on the unjust. And even in this cursed earth, He has fixed it so that we can at least have some modicum of a quality of life and a good life. So in this judgment, we're seeing the long suffering of God waiting now in the days of Noah, and it's going to be another 600 years before this flood comes, and. And you see the mercy of God in all of this. You see the mercy of God in these deaths. You see the mercy of God in that flood. You see the mercy of God in his long suffering before he brings that destruction. And even in God's judgment, you see his mercy and his care. And Lamech lived in chapter 5, verse 30, after he begat Noah 595 years, begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years. It's an interesting number to close out the chapter. And he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So we will, we've made our way down to Noah. Noah is the 10th from Adam. So we've been 10 generations and approximately 1,000 years. Adam, what you've got here is you're seeing these two great patriarchs and these two great key figures in this Genesis account, Adam and Noah. And Adam closes out that first millennium, 930 years, and he dies. Noah opens up that second millennium. He's born in 1056, just at the dawn of that second millennium. He misses being contemporary with Adam by about 80 years, 75 years. So we've come through the first millennium now, basically, is what we've done in chapter 5. And we're going to get through better than the first half of the second one in chapter 6. Till you get to where Noah is 600 years old. So we will pick it up in chapter 6 as we move forward. Do you have a question? Yeah, Linda. Okay.
The first resurrection, that is strictly for Israel.
Yes.
Okay, the reason I asked is because there is a teaching that the rapture is part of the first resurrection, that the first resurrection is in three parts. And
Christ, the rapture, and then Israel, is that three parts, or is it something else?
No. It talks about the corners and the gleanings. And
I know that.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, putting the you're pretty hard pressed to put the rapture of the church in that company. It's the first resurrection is the nation of Israel being resurrected into that kingdom, and then the second is the rest of them going off into the lake of fire.
And
right.
The body of Christ have nothing to do with the first resurrection.
Right. Correct. Yeah. And technically the first is Christ. Like we just read in 1 Corinthians, every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So there's that. Yeah, boy.
My question kind of goes along with what you said. You said Enoch was raptured?
Is that Enoch was translated. Yeah.
Technically that he didn't receive a resurrected body.
Correct. Right. Right. It's a good. Okay. So it wasn't a rapture in the same sense as ours because he did not. It's a good point. He was translated. Right.
So he could be one of the two witnesses in your cup.
That's people use that.
That is true.
No. I think it's Moses and Elijah. But it's a good argument because it's appointed unto man once to die, and Enoch never died. He has to die at some point. The problem with that is it breaks down when you consider the body of Christ, and those of us who are alive and remain, we're never going to die. Just because we go up without dying doesn't mean we got to die at some point later. It's appointed unto men once to die as a general rule. It does. It's not a, you know, it's not a necessity. But it's a good point. Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah, he did not get resurrected. That you know, Methuselah, you know that Selah, you know, you've seen that before, right? In the Psalms. It means a pause. That's the idea there. The long suffering of God waiting in the days of Noah. All right. Thanks, y'all.